Hello, everyone. I'm Chris Cahill, and you're listening to Psychic Every Day, coming to you from Skid Row Studios in downtown Los Angeles. And first, I have to start off by saying that this is a pre-recorded show. I am not able to be here tonight, Wednesday, October 9th, 2013, but I'm here to talk at you anyway. And we're also still creating a video right now, so you can still watch this on livestream.com. Even though it will be a pre-recorded video, it's still me, and we have new lighting. Yay. Hello, everybody. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Remember, skidrowstudio.com is real radio on the internet. I'm here Wednesdays from 7 until 8 o'clock Pacific time, and I'm talking about psychic energies and psychic abilities and being psychic and, you know, all things psychic. That's the point of my show. I am a clairvoyant, a healer, a teacher, a writer, an artist. And I love to talk about different kinds of topics and different kinds of energy that have to do with spirit and growth and psychic abilities. My themes for October are all about your spirit. You know, the spirit of you and also spirit in general. So the first Wednesday in October, I did a whole show about having your own, you know, having spiritual abilities on a level that now I'm actually even losing my memory of what I did Wednesday, last Wednesday. But tonight's show is going to be continuing. And throughout the month, I'll be doing another show on past lives, also on ghosts and spirits and out-of-body beings. And tonight's show is actually about your spiritual path. You the spirit, you the being, you that one-of-a-kind you that you may not know that how one-of-a-kind you are or how unique and special you are. Sometimes you might just look at yourself and think you're not so much. And other times you might really forget, you know, you forget to look and see who the heck are you. And that's what I'm going to be going into tonight. Now, how do you kind of get to know yourself better as the unique one-of-a-kind being that you are? How do you work with your own energy? How do you really know, I mean, what's the point of your life? You know, what are you here for? That's actually a question I get asked a lot in readings from clients and people who come over and see me for a reading might say sometimes, what is my soul's purpose? Like, why am I here? What, you know, what did I come here for? You know, not come to my office for, they came for a reading, but to come to this planet in this lifetime for. And sometimes people hit a point in their lives where they kind of hit a little wall and just wonder, what's the point? Like, what am I doing? What, there's something more. I know there's something more than what it is I'm able to kind of see for myself or understand or know. But it's kind of like, I always see the picture of it being kind of like scratching at the surface. You feel like sometimes there's more. I know there's more. What is that more? What is the thing? And the way I see it is your purpose here, your soul's purpose, your reason why you came to this lifetime and why you were, you know, in your last lifetime and the one before it and all the other gazillions of lifetimes, you came here to grow. You came here to express something. You came here to learn something new, to have different experiences. I guarantee you that last time you, the being, had a body, there was no internet, probably. If you're listening to this and there was an internet, then, you know, you're really young right now. But anyway, just saying, last time you had a body, there weren't certain things in existence. There was a different kind of energy or attitude or way of doing things. And, you know, when I do the show on past lives later in the month, I'm going to get more into that kind of thing. But what I want to talk about tonight is present time, you, the being in present time. And what is that about? Like, how do you kind of work with that a little deeper? It's not always easy to be who you are because there's a lot of demands that, you know, you be something else or. And you've been looking your whole life. We all have. How do I do it right? How do I learn how to do this? How do I create that? And you might start off by copying what somebody else does or, it through your admiration of somebody else sort of match to how they do something. And if you come from a big group of people that's really close-knit, or you really care about your group, or you really match to, or you identify with the other people in your group, whether it's your family or a group of friends or your culture or the country you come from, the neighborhood, you know, the team that you're a fan of. That's always an interesting one to look at. You might forget sometimes in the whole camaraderie of the group. And also, it's the pressure of the group to fit in or to belong. Because everybody wants to fit in and belong on some level. You know, you want to have people. You know, you want to have the people who you feel at home with, who you feel loved by or welcomed by. You know, your pack. I always think of, I was thinking about my dog, one of my dogs I had when I was growing up on the way over here today to the studio. I was thinking about how much this dog just was a member of the family. And he wasn't, granted, he wasn't human. He was a dog, but it was such a perfect picture of dogs are pack animals. They need to belong to the pack. They will match to the pack. You know, they always have a place in the pack. They have their pecking order. And not just dogs do this. Humans do this. You know, chickens do this. You know, other creatures do this. But when you're part of a group and you match to the group and you get approval or you get disapproval or you get, you know, guidance, that can be wonderful. It can be protective. It can be healing. It can be how you learn, how you grow, how you create. You know, and of course, you know, we all need other people to help us create what we create. But if you find yourself kind of staying in that being matched to the group thing, you know, like where you just your whole life, you need approval from others, or it's not safe for you to step out and to go be more of who you are. And you might, you know, get told that by people in the group, well, this is how you're supposed to do it. And if you continue to do that, it'll be hard for you to follow that little urge you have as a spirit, you, the spiritual being in your lifetime, to go be who you really are. Anybody who didn't fit in when you were a child, and that would be me over here, and I'm sure a million of you listening, but you know the difference. You know the difference between fitting in and not fitting in. And you might have chosen to fit in just to make things easier for yourself, or you might have decided, oh, the heck with everybody. I just can't be like that. I'm not going to go, you know, do the thing. I have to go be the artist. I have to go create what I need to create. And then you always find your people who also don't fit in. I found a lot of artists when I was a kid, all the other artists who were kind of the weirdos too, and the, you know, the musicians. I always hung out with the musicians. I always hung out with the people who were different. And then I still liked the people who were kind of more in the mainstream too. I could be friends with them. And I learned that as I got older, hey, it's okay. I don't have to pick one or another. I don't have to pick one group or another and stick with it. I can actually be friends with everybody. That was healing. But, you know, I used to think of it as an us or them. And that's sometimes what happens when you're finding your own spirit. You might forget to really listen to your own instincts, your own truth, your own, and then you forget that you're here to grow and be you. That's really your life journey, your spiritual path, your soul's purpose, you know, all of those ways of putting it, what you came here for. You came here this lifetime to grow. And it's not easy. And sometimes it's really easy and really fun. And it's also very validating too. Because when you start to grow and you start to take your steps toward you, then you get, start to get validated for the things that you learn and that you know. Now, the cool thing about listening to your own truth, your own inner voice, your spirit, is that actually a lot of your abilities start to turn on too. So honestly, you know, that's part of it. You have got allies for the journey already within you. You've heard me talk in other shows about all different kinds of spiritual abilities, psychic abilities, same thing, spirit, psychic, same thing. And psychic, really, originally the word psychic means of the soul. It has to do with your spirit, your truth from within you. So when you start to work with your own abilities, what you're actually doing is getting to know yourself better. You know, it's not, psychic abilities are not just about reading the world out there. I do it all the time because it's just natural. I like it. I like using my abilities to kind of check in with energy all the time. But really, the harder part is to look at yourself. That's the part that might be a little challenging sometimes. You know, what's going on with me? I can see where so-and-so is getting a little stuck over there. And boy, they really have a thing to learn. And God, that looks rough. And oh, glad I'm not them. But meanwhile, what's going on with you? And you start to look at yourself and learn how to look at yourself kindly and without judgment. And you realize, I have some growth to get through as well. I've got a lot. So I've got a few notes here about this. Now, first and foremost, I have to tell you, your spiritual path. This is a big question. People will say, well, am I on my path? What's my spiritual path? What am I supposed to be doing? And that's a big one. What am I supposed to be doing? I don't see that you're really supposed to be doing anything. It's not about supposed to. It's not like there was a rule book given to you saying, well, if you want to grow this lifetime, you have to do this, this, and this. Speaking as a lifelong artist, I see it as you make it up as you go along, because everybody does. You're making it up as you go along. And if you're doing that and letting yourself do that, sometimes you're going to fall. You know, sometimes you're going to make a mistake or fail. That is not a problem. It's actually what you're doing. You know, that's how you're growing, how you're learning. And if you give yourself permission to make the mistakes, then you give yourself permission to grow. It's when people get stuck in needing it to be perfectly maintained and, you know, error-free, perfect, that they get stuck in not growing. You know, it's when you start to feel like things are, there's like a pressure or a feeling kind of like, what, this is boring. You know, I'm having a boring life right now. I'm not growing. I'm not creating. I'm not doing the thing that I came to do. And that's important to really be honest with yourself and look and see, like, what is it that you're holding on to? And often when you find that there isn't growth, or you feel kind of dull or boring or sort of not really present in your own life, maybe uninspired, you know, just like stuck. That's the other thing too, stuck. It looks like you, when you do that, you may just have a thing that it is ready for you to let go of, you know, an old picture or an old rule, something that the group that you love so much gave to you, or something you watched others doing. And, you know, I'm not dissing the group or throwing the group down. I really don't care about the group so much. You know, I like the individuals. I like to communicate with the individual people, because when you're not matched in that whole big conglomeration of this is the whole group, but you get to be an individual within, you know, a group of people, then you're real. You can be more really you. So if you find you're getting stuck sometimes, you may want to look and see which rules you're listening to or following. Whose rules? You know, who said you have to do it that way? And our first group is usually the family. And I come from a big family too, and there's a lot of rules. Everybody's got rules. And, you know, rules are not necessarily bad. But the trick is, are the rules you're following the ones you want to, you know, that make sense for you, that work for you? Because a lot of those rules can be very unconscious, sort of kind of the under the table rules. These are the things we don't talk about, you know, and a big one that's been coming up for a lot of people for a long time now is money. We don't talk about money, or this is, you know, these are the truths about money and money this and money that. And when people become more conscious about their own money pictures and their own money rules, they change what they create with money. You can, as you can see, money's the big thing on the table, one of the big things. And what's really underneath that is who decides what people put their energy into. Where do you put your energy? So back to you and your spirit and being on your own path and how you grow. Remember that if you are doing it for you, and I don't mean that in a selfish way, but you're stepping up and taking the time for you to do what you need to do and looking at yourself and paying attention to what it is your heart is telling you or your spirit tells you, you're going to go far. I'm Chris Cahill. You're listening to Psychic Every Day at SkidRowStudios.com, real radio on the internet. This is a pre-recorded show you're listening to, and I'm talking about your spiritual path. So being a pre-recorded show, I'm not taking calls, but you can watch the live stream, which is not live, but we recorded, and check it out. You can also find this show at iTunes, by the way, as a podcast, which is free and downloadable. So just look for Psychic Every Day on iTunes. Back to the topic. Your soul's purpose, your spiritual path. And now here's another way to look at it. I see it as power. Where do you put your power? Well, wherever you put your energy, where you focus or put your attention point or your energy, that's where you create. And that's very, very powerful. Any smart leader of any country knows, you know, or not, you know, not just a country, but an organization knows that when people choose to focus or put their energy or their spirit in a certain direction, things tend to happen. You can create really terrible laws, or you can do, you know, mean things to people, or you can, you know, do nice things, or you can, whatever it is, try to control populations. But when the people's spirit changes, there's no changing that. I mean, we're in a time right now that illustrates that beautifully all over the world, because people all over the world are changing. We are in a spiritual revolution, no lie. And, you know, you may or may not like or agree with some of the changes happening on the planet, but the trick is, you know, take a look. They're changing. And that means you too. And even if you sometimes feel like you're just a tiny little thing and you don't have much power or much of an influence, guess again. Look again, especially now in 2013 with all the options open to you. You know, especially if you live in a country like this one where you can really have access to a lot of things that people don't have in other places. And you can have more by creating more too. More and more people are creating new ways to communicate with people all over the world all the time. So we change, each of us within, and it doesn't, you know, we don't have to wait for everybody else to do it. Start with yourself. You change, you become more conscious of your own spirit, your own truth, your own, you know, that power you have within you. It's not power over others. It's power within. It's power over yourself. That's the hard one. A lot of people are exercising power over others and, you know, enforcing that and using it for nefarious means and outcomes, but it's going to backfire. I predict that one, even though I don't make predictions. That will change down the road. But what it's also doing in the meantime is helping people grow and wake up. I wrote a piece a while ago on my blog, Psychic Every Day, about Joshua Tree. The first time I went to Joshua Tree years ago, I've lived out in LA now for 7 years, and I love Joshua Tree. And I've been there a few times, but one of my first visits there, my husband and I went on a nature walk with one of the rangers in Joshua Tree. This really, he was just the most cheerful guy with the best disposition. He's probably off of work right now due to the government shutdown. But anyway, so we were, you know, we went on a tour of the trees, like just an area that he took us on, and he taught us about the trees. You know, there's a whole group of people. And one of the things I learned about the Joshua Tree on that tour is that Joshua trees, unlike other kinds of plants and trees, don't all grow them the same. And you already know that. You look at Joshua trees and they're all different. Every single Joshua tree is completely different from every other tree. Absolutely unique. You never see two that are exactly alike. And I never thought about why that is, you know, because, you know, if you look at all the leaves on an apple tree, they tend to look pretty much like each other. if you look at the leaves on a tomato plant or if you look at the way other plants grow, they tend to look like each other. And what this ranger said, Ranger Dar is his name, he said that Joshua trees grow through stress in their environment. So that means that an insect might come along and chew on the tree, or lightning strikes a lot in the desert. And, you know, the tree can get hit by lightning and it will split it, or it'll create a, you know, a little rent in the tree, or something else happens. There might be a fire that comes through. And through that kind of stress, that kind of stuff, you know, the incoming, all the stuff that comes in that the trees handle, you know, because they start out growing as just a tall spike. It's just like a vertical, like one piece. There's nothing coming out of that tree. And Joshua trees have all those funky arms, and they're cool. They're all over the place. So when the tree gets stressed by lightning or a bug or something that comes along, an animal or something happens, it starts to grow. It starts to put out its little spikes, its little arms. And those things keep growing, you know, and then more stress comes in and more growth happens. So next time you see Joshua trees, think about that. Just take a look. And I thought to myself at the time, wow, I'm so glad I went on this nature tour, because I don't think I would have ever learned that, you know, without looking it up or having someone tell me. But that's how we grow. That's how human beings grow. And you don't have to get eaten by a bug or hit by lightning. You know, it's a lot simpler for humans in a way, even though it doesn't always seem that way. Things happen, stresses, you know, challenges, problems, ways that you have opportunities to change and to grow. You see it a lot in relationships with other people, that relationships are a great way for you to get and have an opportunity to grow, no matter who you're in a relationship with. You have the opportunity to learn how to communicate with people. You have the opportunity to forgive. Other human beings will always give you a good reason to exercise that one, depending on, you know, what the circumstances are. To let things go, to be able to just be able to, you know, have kindness and caring for another human without holding on to all of the past. And if you know anybody who really holds a grudge and is a real drag to be around because they just hold on to that negativity and it's just rough, you can see that their power's going into that. They're spending their energy on that negativity, on needing some kind of a, you know, revenge, or needing that other person to see them or to change or whatever. And their energy goes into that rather than saying, oh, well, I guess that's how that person is, and moving on and going to create something new. So that's always the opportunity you have. You, the spirit in the body, you always have the opportunity to say, oh yeah, I don't need to do that. I don't need to be putting my energy in that direction. I get to grow. I get to, you know, be who I need to be. Now, again, back to your spiritual path. When you can do this, you know, work your own life more consciously rather than unconsciously, taking responsibility for who you are and what your choices are, rather than making it all about what happens on the outside world. You know, the expression, oh, that thing just happened to me, or they keep being mean to me, or this keeps happening to me. We've all said that. But if you find you're getting to a place where you're starting to wake up about it, you know, and realizing, oh yeah, there are these things that I keep repeating. I get to talk about this a lot with my students and also with clients, because people will sometimes come to me for a reading because they realize I'm in a pattern. I keep going into the same thing. Why do I keep creating the same kind of relationship with a person who can't be there for me? Or why do I keep, you know, hitting this wall in my career or whatever it is? And I don't tell them what they should do or what, you know, that there's anything wrong with them. I just read the picture. You know, what's the picture? Where are they getting kind of caught in something? And it might be sometimes that they just don't have a picture that they can have what they want, or that they have to, you know, another, just watching people do it that way when they were growing up, that's how they've learned to do it. When you become conscious of that, meaning you become aware of it, it becomes easier to exercise your own power in the direction you want to take it in, rather than feeling like you're sort of caught up in something that's out of your control. What's out of your control is this: anything outside of you. You have no control over other people. This does not make you powerless. You have no control over really what's happening out in the world, but you do have an effect on everyone and everything. And that is power. That's your spirit. You have an effect on everybody when you change or when you grow or when you decide or when you create something new. Look at how much others have an effect on you. You know, it might be someone you don't even know, a musician who you love. There's a really kind of fun little war going on right now between Miley Cyrus and Sinead O'Connor. And it's interesting because it's bringing a lot of people into the conversation. And I don't really get up in the middle of that stuff. I'm like, yeah, whatever. They'll figure it out, or they won't. You know, it's two different generations. It's pictures that are fighting. And I'm just watching this going, this is kind of funny. I sort of like it. I've always appreciated Sinead. And Miley, I don't really know much about, other than she, you know, she's trying to get a lot of attention and whatever. But I'm looking at it going, huh, they're each coming from a different perspective, a different picture. And it's not so important who they are as that the fact that you can see there's like a whole kind of little generational war here, which is really happening. We are changing the pictures of how we live our lives and how we see ourselves. So our spirits are adjusting to that. You, the being, shows up, you change how you see the world and your place in it. And you actually affect how the world changes without having to go around and tell everybody, well, this is how it's going to be now. You can tell people, well, this is how it's going to be now within me. You know, I've got some new rules and y'all better listen because this is how I'm working it. But it's not about them. You can't make others do something. One thing I learned years ago was that when I started to change myself and heal myself, that others had to line up. It was kind of fun. And I realized, you know, when I started getting more neutral to what they thought about me or my effect or my responsibilities that I used to think were all outside, you know, I'm supposed to go take care of these people and heal them and all that crap. And when I got over it, I was like, oh, what a freedom. That's beautiful. How much fun is that to not be caught in that anymore and to be working from a different place and see everybody as being capable, because everyone is. Everyone's capable of creating something, and I'm not here to tell you how that should be. I'm here to say you can do it. You know, you have your own answers, your own information. Just a little reminder, in case you just join me, I'm Chris Cahill. You are listening to Psychic Every Day at SkidRowStudios.com. And this is real radio on the internet. And I got to say a couple things about Skid Row. There are so many great shows here at this network, and it's so much fun to be a part of it. And there's a lot of new shows starting now too. So I'd say check it out. If you're a fan of this show, you can subscribe to my podcast, and all the other shows that are here too are available as podcasts on iTunes. We're all free podcasts. You can also watch us on live stream every week. And every show, I should say. And normally I take callers during my show. And, you know, next week I'll be back with another live show, and you can check in then and, you know, call in for a reading. But check out this place. You know, go to SkidRowStudios.com and look around. And there's a lot of archives there too. So you can check it out. Thank you. Now, back to the show. So here's a question for you. How will you choose to grow consciously and taking responsibility for yourself and your own choices or not? And it's kind of fun sometimes to watch when people don't choose to do something consciously or let go of something consciously. They're like, ah, I can't, you know, it's like beyond me. I don't have the power. I'm not going to do it. And then they create all kinds of, you know, I'm not laughing at them, but they create all kinds of problems forcing them into growth. And I think actually, as a planet, that's sort of what we've all been doing for a number of years now. We've got to pay attention to things like our Earth. you know, that we're from and that we live on, and we're kind of really screwing up with our overconsumption. So there are things like that. We're learning this. A lot of people have been talking about it for a long time, but no, this is important. And I'd say that also, not just the earth, but your body, you know, what your body needs and what it's telling you and all the rest of it. So growing consciously doesn't mean you have to know everything or have the answers all the time. It might mean that you just do something as simple as start to ask, you know, because really the questions are more important than the answers. The questions you ask yourself and the questions you might just ask in general, you know, on a maybe a bigger spiritual level, sort of like, why am I here? You know, what's the point of this? What am I doing? It's not that there's one right answer for any of that. It's that you can start to find your own answers. I really love meditation as a technique, and I love grounded meditation. That's what I work with, and that's what I teach. But the reason I do is because it makes it easier to heal. It makes it easier to let go of energy, and it makes it easier to kind of have fun playing with energy. And what I mean by that is I can sit in a meditation and just go, okay, what is this thing I'm getting stuck in? You know, if I find I'm kind of not getting past something, and I'll find it. I'll find the answer. I'll see it, or I'll know it, or I'll feel it, or I'll just trust that I'm going to find it. It'll show up. I'll get the answer to this. I've often found that grounding and working with meditation before creating something new helps me do that. Now, you may have your own way to meditate, your own way that, you know, the thing you do that helps you find your answers. And if you don't, I recommend it. Find something. Whatever that is, you know, if you want to learn how to meditate, if you go for walks, if you work out, if you journal, if you, you know, go and just hang out someplace and relax and try not to get stuck in everything, whatever it is that you do to get you away from the overthinking or the solving or the being stuck in the old negative, do that. Practice that on some level. I see meditation as a way to communicate with yourself, you the being, you the spirit. It's having a conversation with yourself, you know, getting away from the constant texting and phone and incoming information that comes in all day long, the internet, all of it, and your work and the demands on you and the responsibilities and the people who are constantly, you know, wanting something. You got to step away from that for a little bit every day. Give yourself a little time to be with you. It's very difficult to get to know who you are and then really to find your own answers, your own truth, and also your own power if it's constantly outside of you. And if you're also outside of you waiting for the feedback to come in, so you're waiting for others to tell you how great you are or that you're doing a good job or that you're not screwing up or, you know, you need that, then if you need that, it's going to be hard for you to kind of know that you're doing your thing if that's not coming in. Sometimes it's hard to create something new if there isn't a fan base for it because you're worried that, you know, oh no, I'm going to be isolated. I'm going to be all alone with this and you're in it. But that's also what artists do. Anybody who creates something new knows this. And I'm calling everybody an artist who creates. You have to sometimes go into the dark and do it. Find the thing. And that's what it's like finding your own spirit sometimes too. Getting to know you, yourself, and learning what that truth is or that power or what it is that you're here for. It's pretty important. You change what happens in your life when you make conscious choices. There's a movie that came out a number of years ago called, I wrote it down here, Sliding Doors. And it was about different outcomes that could happen depending on the choice that, you know, one of the characters in the film, like whether to get on the elevator or not get on the elevator, or to go turn left or to turn right. And just the chance meetings that happen or the way that the energy goes differently, like a whole different story happens when you go in this direction versus that direction. So it was really kind of fascinating. I really liked that film. I saw it a couple times and I saw it as being just such a wonderful metaphor for how we make choices. And when you start to make a conscious one, sometimes you can't know an outcome at all It doesn't seem to exist. You know, there isn't a predetermined outcome, but you change what happens in the long run. I find it far more interesting, rather than predicting anything, because I never do, I find it far more interesting to open up the possibilities. Well, what is the picture? Oh, yes, that's what I talked about last week on this show. Dream a new reality, creating a new picture, imagining, visualizing, dreaming. And when you start to work with your own spirit and your own spirit's truth, you create a new dream for yourself. If you're constantly working with a picture you were given by a teacher or a parent or a group, like this is who you're supposed to be a good person. That's not necessarily bad, but what if it limits you from really being who you are? You could still be a good person, you know, if you want to, I guess, but it's limiting you sometimes to be more of who you are in your own truth, your authenticity, your ability to really go there, you know, it's a commitment, actually, a commitment to your own true self. Now, sometimes you're just not ready to choose consciously. That happens. I that's actually really fun to watch too. And just listen, you know, listen to this and look for yourself and see if maybe you've done it this way from time to time, where you kind of run forward at the growth with your hands over your eyes, screaming, ah, and moving right toward it. But being, you know, in this, because you just have to go there that way. And sometimes that's how we do it. It's kind of dramatic. You know, it's, I know this is going to be really challenging, but I have to do it. Well, you know what? Like when you quit the job, you know, the job you've hated for a while, you're like, I just can't take this anymore. I'm quitting. That's it. I don't care. I don't know what's going to happen next. I know that it's hard to find a job. I don't care. Quitting. Things like that. That's a big deal. Or somebody who just, they can't take it anymore. They're done with the way things have been. And it's not, they don't necessarily get all their ducks in a row before they make a drastic change. So that can be a less, you know, sometimes a less comfortable or even less conscious way of doing something, but it's your way. If that's the way you do it, that's the way you do it. It's helpful to go into the consciousness, the awareness, the truth of what it is that you really want, and to listen to yourself about that. And then again, we get back to, that's why you have those abilities, those spiritual abilities. That's where your power comes from, what your intuition tells you, what your gut has been telling you all along, what you just intuit on some level, or you can see the vision of what it is you'd like to create, or you can hear it within yourself, or you have a conversation with yourself about it, your inner voice, you're listening, or you know on some level, you have a knowing that I have to go do this. This is something I'm here for. You know, this is what I need to create. Or there's that desire. Even if you don't have any idea at all about how you're going to make the money to do it, you know you have to go create this thing. The wonderful thing that happens when you start to believe in your own power, your own spirit, your own truth, you know, you might work really hard to do this and you might work really hard for a long time without getting a lot back. But if your spirit's in it, that's powerful. And that's where you start to attract attention. That's where you start to attract other people who are wanting to come over and see what you're up to, because all of a sudden it looks really interesting over there. Somebody could spend all the money in the world and have great advertising and have, you know, beautiful photographs and videos and all this stuff, but if their spirit's not in what they're doing, it's going to fall flat. You know, you can look at great big Hollywood movies that have huge budgets and people go see them and go, ooh, what a stinker. This is terrible. And then somebody who's got like, you know, a nano budget for a filmmaker who's an indie, but has a beautiful story, great spirit, the energy's there, and it becomes a huge hit. And obviously, it's not the money that did it. It's something else. You know, of course, it takes the technical, you need to have things that look good. Technically speaking, it has to be a beautiful looking film, or it has to be well done. Or even if it's a low budget, you know, you've got to have good actors. And at least people will put up with some of the other stuff to get to that, because that's where the spirit comes through in the film. But that's true in your life, too. You could have all the money in the world, but no spirit there. And you could have nothing, zippo, zilch, but you've got this great big spirit and you're getting ready to go create something. And when you start putting your energy into it, it's amazing what happens. It's amazing what you can create and what you can manifest. Any doctor or nurse, you know, or caregiver who's honest will also tell you that if somebody wants to live, if somebody's going through some terrible medical thing, you know, whether an emergency or an illness, if they decide to live, they're going to live. Somebody could have a really strong spirit, but their body just gives up, and that happens too. But people come through some pretty amazing things and live through it. And that is not just the body. That's that spirit showing up and saying, hey, I'm not done yet. I've got more here. And let me see if I can rally my body and figure it out and, you know, make it so I can stick around for a while. And that happens. People show up with their energy, with their spirit. That's what you're here for. That's your spiritual path. That's why you came this lifetime, because you wanted to go create something. And whether it's creating something really brilliant and amazing and, you know, just fantastic out in the world, some great big thing, whether it's creating a beautiful family, a home, relationships, doing your own work, might be something you never want to share with people. You're just doing it for you. It doesn't matter. If you're doing it for you and you show up and you decide to be who you are and it's your own truth, you're still giving. Because you bring that energy with you wherever you go. And this is another part of this. It's very important. So we've kind of gone into, like, what does it mean? You know, what does it mean to have your spirit? And how do you go about having that? And what do you do? But the truth is, at the very end of it, that you are giving. You are contributing. Even if you don't go around and, you know, toot your own horn or you know, if you have no Facebook account whatsoever, you're still doing this. You're still giving by being in your own energy and by having your own truthful spirit, which is a beautiful thing. So, and another part of this too is none of this requires you being perfect. And I already gave you permission earlier, go make mistakes. You know, you don't need my permission. Go give yourself permission. But none of this is about doing it a particular way. It's not about what you believe or what activities you participate in or any of that. It's about knowing you, knowing yourself. And whatever you're drawn to, whatever you're attracted to doing, you know, if even if it makes no sense, you have no idea how you're going to make money at it, but you want to go join the roller derby, do it. I actually had a friend of mine she got to roll with a roller derby team recently, and she'd been wanting to do this for a while, and I was so proud of her. And she said to me, I was so scared. I went out there, I had the most padding on I could possibly have on. I was so scared. And I said to her, why didn't you tell me? I would have been there. And she said, I didn't want anyone to know in case I fell and made a fool of myself, but it was really fun. And she loved it. I thought, good for her. Like I could just see the light going on for her. You know, her spirit was there saying, I love being a roller derby queen just for a day. You know, and she said, doesn't really want to do it regularly. She's like, I'd get too hurt. But it was really fun to see. I was like, good for you. Like, I am impressed. Right on. You know, what if your spiritual path means that you get to dance and sing every day, even though you're not getting paid for it? So what? Even though, you know, you don't think you're very good at it. But it makes you happy. It makes you happy to do. You like it. I say that's part of your spiritual path. Maybe that's how you meditate. You know, what if your spiritual path is about being able to go and paint and just do it for yourself, and you really don't care if anybody likes it or doesn't like it, or if it's following the fashions of the day, or you, it's really not a problem. Do the thing. you can see how much more permission there is now to create than there has been for a long time. And I really give the falling economy a lot of credit for that. So many more people losing their jobs decided to start doing the thing they'd always wanted to do, that childhood dream, that picture, the thing that they just always had an affinity for. And there was always that promise that, oh, you can do this when you retire. You know, after you do what's real, which is work, you know, your butt off for 40 hours a week or more all these years, and then you can do the thing you really want to do. I say do it now. You know, I'm not saying you have to go quit everything and go do the thing now, but just do it now without judging yourself. When I first went to Ireland years ago, my first trip to Ireland, I was really struck by how there was so much permission for people to just sit in a pub and somebody could sing. You know, somebody would just like pipe up and start singing a song, and there weren't even any instruments. It was just sort of what people did. And I was in a little town somewhere and just listening to this, there was no TV on. There was no sport game on. There was nothing. It was just people being in the pub. A lot of people there knew each other, you know, it was local. But it was so lovely. Like there was nobody was judging their voices. It's natural for human beings to sing and to tell stories and to dance and to do these things, you know, to do this, to create. And that's your spirit too. One of the reasons why the arts have been so shut down over many years now in this country, you know, like arts funding doesn't get no respect, you know, but one of the reasons why is that art talks to the spirit. Your spirit wakes up with creativity. I used to teach a lot of kids years ago. I'm a lifelong artist, like I said, and I used to go out and teach little kids in different places. And back in the 80s, I was teaching two different groups of kids. One group was at a place that used to exist called the Henry Horner Boys and Girls Home of Chicago. And it was in the projects. And it was all African-American kids and very young, starting from like age 5. And, you know, they went up to, I think the kids I worked with were mostly like 5 to 12 in that range, some a little bit older. At the same time, I was teaching at a wealthy, primarily white school on the north side of Chicago that was a after-school program. It was very expensive, but a really beautiful. I mean, I really liked teaching there, too. One thing I learned, because I was teaching all the same age, both schools, both places. One school I had, you know, I had funding, I had money, I had a lot of great, you know, we had a pottery kiln and all kinds of stuff at the school on the north side. And the school on the south side, or the Henry Horner's home, wasn't a school, but it was like a Boys and Girls Club of Chicago. And there was very little. Like I had to bring everything in. And I did. I just, you know, they gave me a budget of what to spend and I wasn't getting paid to teach there. I just wanted to do it. So one thing I learned is that all these kids were the same. Everybody woke up when they created. The children would get lost in their creating. And I realized when I became I hadn't taught children before then, but when I started doing this, first of all, I learned right away how exhausting it is. And I was like, well, maybe I don't want to be a teacher of kids for a long, long time, but it's good. I'm learning now. But I also learned that their spirit, like the spirit of each child, would just show up because nobody would ever make the same thing. You know, kind of like a Joshua tree. Every single one of these kids is growing differently. Each one has a different vision. Each one has a unique spirit. Each one has a different kind of choice that they make. And I thought that was really cool. It was before I ever trained as a psychic or even thought of myself as one, but I was reading that energy. I always saw it. And I found it very, very validating to be around because I could see the kids were naturally already there. It was the adults who had the problem with it. And that was the funny thing. In the kids' school on the north side, their parents were such a deal. They were paying all this money for classes. And they expected a product that was finished. And I used to want to say to them, but you see, don't you get it? The kids completely forget about the product after it's finished. They just want to make the next thing. They don't care about the product. You know, they might say, oh yeah, that's my drawing or that's my pottery, but it's about doing it. It's about being in doing it. And so that's one thing I'd like to remind you of. It's about being in there and doing it. You don't have to come up with perfectly finished products all the time. You know, you don't have to come up with something that necessarily makes sense. Sometimes you have to make a lot of paintings you don't like to get to the one you do like. And I'm using that as an analogy for your life. Sometimes you just have to get through a lot of things that seem very challenging in order to get to the good thing or the thing that you realize, oh yeah, this is actually what I want. I want it to look like this, or I want it to feel like this. You know, sometimes we create the relationships we don't want and get really clearer then about what we do. And that might be what you've done, and it doesn't mean that you're always wrong or that you're, you know, making bad choices all the time, but that you're learning. You're kind of learning how to let it go, how to get through the old thing so you can get to the thing that is what you want. Actually, sometimes just going through that helps you see what you want, because that's another place your spirit is very powerful. When you create that vision, when you have that picture of what you do want and you start putting your energy into it, you make that thing real. Another reason I don't predict the future, it's not predetermined. If you keep going along unconsciously and whatever happens, you know, whatever the universe brings me, I'm like, really? Whatever the universe brings you? What do you want? You know, what is it you want to have? That's important. We're getting to the end, excuse me, of this pre-recorded show. And I just have a couple more little points here. Sorry about that. If you can decide to make it more fun for yourself to be who you are, and one of the ways you can do that is by listening to yourself and starting to know who you are, really giving yourself that opportunity. Because when you start to get to know who you are and decide to make your life be more how you'd like it to be, you know, just moving in that direction, you give other people around you permission to do the same thing. You can't make somebody else do it. You can't heal them or force them into growing or changing. But you really can do it for yourself. You know, what if the point of life is actually to have fun and lighten up? What if it's really to enjoy? So many times when people ask me the questions, you know, that I keep bringing up in this show, what am I here for? What's the point of my life? And they sometimes expect me to come up with some big, you know, brilliant sort of sermon on, oh, you're here to go and heal the planet and do this and do that. And actually, I always, every time without fail, I see it as different pictures for the, you know, depending on who I'm reading, but I always see that part of what they're here for is to lighten up, to have fun, to remember who they really are and to enjoy that, to play. We forget how to play when we become, you know, really important grownups, to go and just, you know, maybe fritter around and invent things and moodle a bit and not get stuck in I have to do 90 things on my list before I can prove I'm a good human. How about if your bucket list included do nothing for a day, just play, you know, not have to achieve every freaking thing on the planet. So what if the point of it all is that partly, that part of your growth was to learn how to really work from that place of, it's good. I'm grateful. I'm happy to be here. This is wonderful. Yeah, I want to grow. Yeah, I want to create these things. But what if I also learn how to chill out, you know, relax a little bit? So I give you that for the week. This coming week, give yourself some permission to have some space with your own spirit. Thank you so much for listening. You've been listening to Psychic Every Day. I'm Chris Cahill, and this is SkidRowStudios.com. Thank you, Jeremy, for coming in to record me today. Thank you, Skid Row Studios, and thank you all for listening. Find me at ChrisCahill.com. Also at psychiceveryday.com. And you can sign up for my free podcast and subscribe to it at iTunes, Psychic Every Day on iTunes. You can also subscribe to my free newsletter. I send out a pretty newsletter every week. So look for that on my website. But enjoy and thank you so much. Have a great week.